Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So dozens of residents in Washington, Utah, and Virginia have received unsolicited packages, apparently from China, containing seeds. These packages are marked as containing jewelry, but actually contain small sealed packages of seeds. State departments of agriculture have warned that anyone receiving these mysterious seeds should not open the packages, as they may contain invasive species or diseases. No reporting yet on what kind of seeds they are. More on this story, maybe, as it develops. An investigation by the Public Accountability Initiative, an investigative nonprofit, revealed that police departments all over the country receive substantial, hitherto unknown funding from oil giants, including Shell, Chevron, and Exxon. It is unclear why these companies have donated such massive amounts to local police, but the report indicates it may be related to ongoing violations of environmental law that have mysteriously gone unenforced in many cities. Funny that. A new New York Times report reveals that the Advanced Aerospace Identification Program, once thought to have been disbanded in 2012, was actually renamed and tucked away inside the Office of Naval Intelligence, and it may be required by Congress to start findings public. Luis Elizondo, chairman of the old program, has confirmed that the new program is a direct successor to what he ran, and that it, quote, no longer has to operate in the shadows. It will have a new transparency. Well, one would hope. Also, I didn't get to talk about it last week, but someone tried to kill a judge involved in one of the financial cases related to Epstein and Deutsche Bank, or Deutsche Bank, I guess you say it. To be honest, this situation is kind of a whole thicket that I don't really feel qualified to weigh in on, but I don't want to ignore it completely, you know? We are a conspiracy podcast. Back to you, Chauncey.
My wife and I, we were talking about the grains and the seeds, and My initial thought to that was that it was a hoax, was that it was some sort of Russian bot situation. But, you know, what is your take on that?
I don't know, because the states are weird. Like, you'd think if it was a hoax to, you know, I don't know, make people paranoid about China or something, they would have chosen swing states.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Utah and Washington, Utah, and Virginia. Yeah, these are not swing states. But, you know, maybe it's just a hoax for silly, unrelated reasons. I don't know. There are a lot of explanations it could be that are relatively innocuous. But, like, we really don't have much information. It's just a strange situation. Also, I wanted to report on it in case, you know, these seeds turn out to be alien plants that, you know, overrun the entire world and jungle and make plant zombies and stuff. A sort of Last of Us scenario. I didn't want to let that slip by without comment.
Just in case.
Right, yeah. But that's kind of the screening criteria I use for which stories we talk about. I'm like, is this going to be embarrassing that we didn't talk about it if it causes the apocalypse? And the answer, of course, is always no, because we'll be too busy dealing with the apocalypse. But in case.
You know, my initial thought, like I said, when I first heard it was that it was a hoax. But in the article Terry was reading, she said it was people who were ordering jewelry and were getting seeds instead, and that people were actually planting them to see what they were. And
that doesn't seem like a good idea.
Well, at first I thought, well, that's stupid. You know, they should throw them away. But then I thought, well, if they throw them away, they're just going to go into a landfill and probably grow and spread from there too, wouldn't they?
Well, that's true. You need to burn them.
Right. Or eat them.
Or, well, I don't know. I wouldn't eat the zombie seeds.
Right. Yeah.
That's how this whole thing starts.
Police payments from oil companies, that's weird. I mean, are the police saying that they're unaware of what these things are? Or
No, the police, no. It's just this stuff wasn't, like, publicly disclosed until this nonprofit dug it up, basically, via,
I see.
I don't know, investigative reporting. But, you know, it's two things that liberals hate, oil companies and police. So just sort of combined into one story.
I'm liberal. I feel like I hate the police.
Okay, it's fine. It's two things leftists hate. I just figured,
don't get me
wrong,
there's a lot of reform that needs to go on there, but I don't hate them, you know.
Okay, well, if you say that, then that means you hate them, so.
The reform part?
Yeah.
I see. I do appreciate the fact that if there's a gunman in a building and there's a bunch of hostages and somebody yells, who's going to go in? And then look at me, and then I step to the side, and luckily there's a cop behind me willing to go in. You know, I appreciate that because, like, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going in there. You know, you know, if my family's not in there, I'm not going in.
Is that a big problem for you in your daily life, armed gunmen?
No, but it's one of those problems that only has to happen once.
That's
know?
Fair.
So, you know, but don't get me wrong. I do think that there needs to be a lot of reform and a lot of reallocation of funds towards, you know, maybe some more productive resources. So apparently black lives don't matter, but black gold does.
Oh, I like that.
All right, so the Advanced Aerospace Program. So is this an implication that it's like war games in space or UFO research that we're not aware of?
No, it's UFO research. So the Advanced Aerospace Identification Program, this is the thing that came out in 2017. There was all that big news about it because the New York Times and the Washington Post were like, hey, the government has a secret program to, like, identify and investigate UFO phenomenon, and the guy who used to run it is here with us and totally willing to tell us that he thinks aliens are real. That's kind of why it made a splash. But the thing is, that story was sort of predicated. Like, the Pentagon was like, yeah, it's true, but we shut it down in 2012. Now it turns out, no, they didn't. They just renamed it. It's been going on ever since.
Right. So it's like a crappy restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
Restaurant with crappy reviews, they just change the name so they can start up new reviews.
I mean, I'm not mad about this. I'm happy that the government isn't investigating this stuff.
Right.
It'd be nice if there was more transparency, but that's also sort of part of the story, is that Congress is pushing for more transparency, so who knows? We might get it.
You know, transparency is one of those things that I have, like, a love-hate relationship with. You know, part of me wants as sure. much transparency as possible, but part of me has seen enough science fiction movies like Hellboy and stuff to know that maybe something should be kept secret.
Yeah. I guess if the shapeshifters are among us, then I don't necessarily want the public to know that, lest I be burned at the stake for being maybe a shapeshifter.
All right. And then they tried to kill the judge. Is that
I'm sure you heard about that. Right?
Now, is that the one where they came to the door and they killed the son and shot the husband?
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was any. I didn't know that there was any connection to the Epstein case,
though. Oh, no. Conspiracy internet has been going insane because, yes, this judge was. So basically, investors of Epstein sued Deutsche Bank because Deutsche Bank wasn't. Or rather, investors in Deutsche Bank, basically they sued them because they didn't do enough to, like, investigate Epstein's shady dealings. They basically gave him a pass, which, to be fair, they did. Like, they really took a, we don't want to know, hear no evil, see no evil, do all the sex trafficking stuff. So she's the judge who is overseeing that case.
All right. Well, tonight's show, Kara and I will be discussing the state of the world at large.
Indeed.
Basically, so if you are, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff going on in the world. If you are a liberal, you can chime in and think, oh, well, I think this way and I think that way. And if you're a conservative, you can chime in and listen to us and hate us and enjoy that hate. So, you know, there's a little something for everybody.
Good spin. I like that.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Tonight's guests are Kara and I. This is one of those experimental shows that probably just shouldn't be done. What Kara and I are going to do is we're going to discuss the state of the world today, this world of murder hornets.
We're
going to
swerve wildly out of our lane.
Right, you know, world of murder hornets and conspiratory presidents and so on and so forth. Because maybe a lot of you don't know, but Kara is a lot younger than I. You're still 25?
I'm 27.
You're still 25.
I was 25 when we started doing this show three years ago.
Okay, all right. Look at you all grown up. And I'm 40-something, maybe 45, maybe 44. I don't know.
Okay, well, if you don't know your age either, I feel better.
Yeah, no, I don't. But I have more of an excuse.
Lot of years. Can't keep track after a certain point.
So I've been like saying to myself, like, hey, maybe this isn't a great idea to do this show, because the way I see it is you're going to get hated on by, the more conservative older listeners, and I'm going to get cancel cultured. This is the way that I see this ending up, is that both of us are bad guys.
More likely.
on the flip side, it does make both of us the good guy to the other side. So maybe, you know, maybe that works.
And honestly, I think the listeners already, I'm like, what do they call it? Unprofessional wrestling, the heel or something, you know, that's, I feel like that's basically my function on the show already. Because I'm like a crazy communist and our listeners are like centrist-ish, maybe? I don't really know. Probably not as left-wing as I am.
You're right.
So.
Okay, and, you know, to be fair, I'm going to answer any one of the questions that you answer as well, you know. I'm not.
Yeah, okay. Put that you sounds on good.
But, okay, so first off, Kara, what political box would you put yourself into?
I'd call myself a socialist.
You'd call yourself a straight-up socialist.
Yes, I would. But worth noting, like, I'm sort of sitting here standing in for the youngins today. That's not where the youngins today are. I'm considerably to the left of that. I would say in people who are my age and who are also LGBT, there's a very good chance that they are straight-up socialists like I am. But people who are not LGBT but who are my age probably do not think the way I do on a lot of the stuff we're going to be talking about.
All right, so just to make it clear to the audience, are you a capitalist?
No.
You are completely a socialist. There is no capitalist.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of social democrats call themselves socialists. But that's not where I'd put myself. Although, honestly, like social democracy, what's practiced in Finland, Denmark, et cetera, that's a form of capitalism. It's basically just heavily regulated capitalism. Now, personally, I don't think that is too bad, but I still wouldn't call myself a social democrat. I would call myself a socialist because I would prefer a system that had, you know, no private property whatsoever.
So what's the difference between a socialist and a communist?
Branding.
Just branding. So you're a Democrat.
I mean,
you believe in democracy.
Yes, I do. The democratic is a key point there, and I probably should have brought that up. Like, I'm not a fan of totalitarian states, whether they're left-wing, right-wing, whatever, I think.
Well,
totalitarianism is bad.
You know, just to break apart the word, and this irritates me a lot of the time when people talk about communists, they're all, oh, commie this, commie that. There has never been a large country on this planet that was an actual communism. China, Russia, these countries are not communisms.
Yeah. I feel like it's a little more complicated, though, because Vietnam, right now, I would say, is about as socialist as you can be while still existing in a global capitalist economy. Like, they export stuff, they trade, because you literally have to, but they're basically a socialist country, and I think are a decent example of what a socialist country is or should look like.
Then why don't you get out of our country and just go to Vietnam already?
Well, because I don't speak the language and because it's much poorer. Like, ideally, I would like to live in a country that is as rich as the U.S., but is also socialist. Like, there's no question their standard of living is lower on a lot of things because, no surprise, they're a much poorer country than we are. And you know, I don't think they're a poorer country because they're socialist. I think they were a poorer country because they were colonized for hundreds of years and then torn by war for many more years.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and right now they're doing about as well as they can for their size and the fact that capitalist countries don't particularly like them.
Yeah. So my answer to this is a tough one. I'm not sure what box to put myself in. Do you have any idea what box I should put me in? What would you consider?
Well, I guess I don't really know. When I describe socialism, I just say basically I want the same world we live in right now. I just want every corporation replaced with a co-op, basically, and a couple other things. Like, I don't think landlords should exist, I think.
Now, is that co-op run by the government in a socialist fashion, or is that
not necessarily? In some conceptions of socialism, it is. Personally, I don't particularly like that. I'm more of a market socialist.
So there's some level of free market going on.
Yeah, I think the free market is good. I think you can have the free market in a socialist economy. I just think, you know, if you work for a company, you should get some ownership of it. You know, I think the way companies are run today, which arguably has a lot more effect on us than the way the government is run, is, you know, not democratic at all. It's not democratic by design. And, like, no one expects companies to be democratic, but I think they should be. Because I think, you know, you can get fired for saying something on social media about your company. You know, they have huge control over your lives. They have huge control over the world, over the resources, over the environment. So I think they should be democratically run, just like everything else that is at all significant to our planet or to anything at all.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was, before Trump got elected, I really felt that the world was, our world, the United States, was just about in line and ready for both sides to agree that corporations were the problem, you know.
Yeah.
Because even, you know, on the left, I understand why corporations are a problem. I mean, sure. It makes perfect sense on the left. Corporations are a problem because they lobby the government. They control things with money. Money is all power, right. And they basically exploit
people. Well, I think the right has a problem with that, too.
On the right, corporations should have a big problem with people on the right because of free market, you know, right. Because of monopolies and basically keeping the little guy out. You know, everything, I think we've discussed this on here, everything has big in front of it now. You know, you can't start any sort of business, larger business, without any sort of, without massive regulations that are stopping you from starting a business. There's not regulations on how you get to do and what you get to do. There's regulations on you just getting started in the first place.
Well, so do you think that every corporation should be a co-op?
No, I'm actually not opposed to it. It depends on what big business is considered. You know, I'm opposed to massive conglomerates, but right. I mean a big business.
So you would be in favor of limiting the size of companies, but not changing their overall structure. Is that fair to say?
I'm a big fan of enforcing antitrust and monopoly laws. Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Well, then, so I wouldn't call you a socialist.
No, I'm definitely not.
You believe in private, you know, property.
Well, I am a private business owner, and I do hope to own land. So. One of my dreams in life is to dig a hole and know that I own that nothing.
Thank you. Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Home Helpers of Reading is now hiring. They are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community and are looking to add to their award-winning team of caregivers. If you're interested in flexible hours with opportunities for full or part-time work, we invite you to apply to join the Home Helpers team. Apply today online at readinghomehelpers.com or drop off your resume at 2620 Lexmer Lane. Reading Home Helpers, serving our community for 16 years, and we look forward to meeting you.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only 4 AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us. The coronavirus.
Sure, yes.
What's your initial take on the coronavirus?
That it's bad.
So you think it's real?
I'm anti-coronavirus.
Do you think it's real?
Yes, I think it's real.
All right. You know, but this is one of the things facing the world right now, and there are so many different beliefs, so many different attitudes towards it that...
Right. Well, it's crazy that it's gotten sort of politicized, because in other countries it really hasn't. Well, that's not true. In a lot of Europe, they like to act like they're better, but kind of it's politicized there, too. But, like, in Asia...
Is that a microaggression against Europeans, Kara?
Screw Europe. They're awful.
All right.
No, they're fine. I'm just riling them up for
literally
no reason.
Yeah, screw their though. Yeah.
All right. What was I saying? No, I think it's real. I think it's bad, and I think right now our discourse is save lives, save the economy. And there's a lot of like, well, if you don't save the economy, people will die anyway. First of all, not necessarily. Like, death rates probably didn't actually even rise during the Great Recession. There's this idea people have, well, if the economy tanks, people will starve to death. Well, no, not really. We have social safety nets. you know, people's lives will be destroyed, but they probably won't die. Whereas coronavirus has killed, you know, 140,000. But more to the point, it's framed as this choice between economy and lives, and I think that is silly, because if we just open everything up and everyone goes back to work, there will be so many dead that there won't be much of an economy anyway. You know?
Right.
So I think what we're doing now in our sort of half-assed way, I don't know if I can say that on the radio, but it doesn't matter. Well, yeah, we'll figure it out. Is really the only course. Like, I think these lockdowns are necessary. The people who are skirting them, who are flouting the rules, are really only going to be hurting themselves down the line. Well, right. And also a lot of other people.
Well, you probably don't know this, but for the past 2 weeks, I have been on a very, very extreme diet because my doctor tells me I am playing with fire. I have high blood pressure, I'm pre-diabetic, and I have just about the highest numbers of cholesterol that most people I know have ever seen.
Okay.
And so now my diet entails, it's mainly spinach. Spinach with some other stuff. You know,
you're trapped in your house and you can only eat spinach.
Right. So I'm going to come out the other end of this coronavirus. But the point of all of this is that I am one of those people that if I were to get coronavirus, I am likely to die from.
Right.
You know, I'm one of those people with the pre-existing conditions. And while I am incredibly unhealthy, or at least was up until 2 weeks ago, lost 9 pounds in 2 weeks. I am not shockingly any worse than a lot of Americans, you know.
No, so, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think that the big issue with coronavirus is that none of us feel any civic duty. You know, we don't feel a civic duty to our towns, to our states, to our countries. Sure, we're willing to talk crap. You know, I moved up here to Oregon. Man, Oregonians hate Californians. They just hate them. And apparently that's the case through a lot of states because Californians are moving there with all their money and blowing stuff up. I don't remember having that much money to ruin the Oregon economy, but apparently maybe some people do. But, you know, there is no,
there's that private,
and I'm not talking about Oregon specifically right now, but there is no camaraderie between people. People are really willing to hate. They're really willing to point out what they don't like. I'd like to think that there's a bunch of silent masses who are loving and supportive.
Yeah.
But the squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know, it's
honestly, I don't feel like you can. Our society is structured on every level to, like, encourage competition, you know. Our society is an every man for themselves ideal, down to the very core. And, you know, people are raised in that culture. And right now, I really don't blame people who are, you know, refusing to wear masks just because, you know, they're willing to let other people die in order to not mildly inconvenience themselves, because this was predictable. You know, those people are victims of the system that made them think that way, and you can't just expect them to be other than what they are suddenly. Where I put the blame for pretty much everything on coronavirus, apart from the fact that it was always going to be awful because it's just a bad thing, is basically on the government for doing nothing. You know, I think the government needed to say, this is a new situation. Here are the new rules. We're paying you all to stay home. You know, things are going to work differently until this virus is over. But they did not want to do that. They didn't want to take it seriously. And like, there's no free market solution to coronavirus. You can't laissez-faire your way out of this. The government needed to step up, and they did. So that's where I put the blame.
Right. That was one of my sad realizations. So, you know, my day job is doing SEO and writing content and stuff like that. And One of the rules on the internet is that you're not supposed to write above an eighth grade level so that you can prove that.
Sure.
And, you know, my wife and I were talking about how she said that, you know, she's really irritated that everybody's like hating on Fauci going like, well, he lied and he didn't know and he told us all this stuff and he didn't know. And she's just all novel is right in the name. Why didn't they just call it new or unknown so that when he tried to answer questions, people knew that he was answering about something unknown? She felt that the word use of the word novel alienated a lot of people's understanding of what the doctors were trying to tell us.
To be fair, I don't think a lot of people know that that's actually what it's called. I think they think it's called coronavirus.
Well, yes, so's the common cold.
Right, yeah.
You know. But
I don't think anything we've said, though, just now would probably be controversial to anyone except the people who turned us off as soon as I said socialist in the last segment. Like, I think everyone who's still listening is on board, you know.
Well, thank you both.
I think it's
sticking around.
It's very much like the only people for whom any of this is a problem is like essentially the ultra far right, who do not believe anything.
I'm hoping to put it out there so that, you know, they can understand and maybe we can understand too, because like
I don't think they will ever change their minds.
Why do you think
right
a lot of people why do you think a lot of people don't believe in the coronavirus?
I think because, well, for a couple of reasons. I think if Trump had said this is a serious problem, this is a big deal. Actually, no, it really is just one reason. I think it's because Trump downplayed it initially and they are in a cult. And he is their cult leader.
You really think that?
I think if Trump had taken it seriously, then so his supporters would be also. There would be no anti-maskers. There would be no movement along that line. You would still have a few hardcore types like the anti-vaxxers and stuff who, you know, are pro-infectious disease, I guess. But like, and they would have always been a problem, but there aren't really that many of them. I think the bulk of the people we're having problems with now are people who just believe Trump always, no matter what he says, and he didn't take it seriously, so they won't either.
Okay, well, he is the president. He is the leader of this country.
Okay.
So can you understand why people would think that? You know, can they?
Yeah, but these are the same people who hated Obama, hated him with every fiber of their being. You know, these people aren't like, well, he's my president and he says this. They don't respect the office of the president. They respect Trump because he's their guy, you know?
Yeah. He tells it like it is, though.
Right. They like Trump because they've supported him this far. You know, they like Trump for a lot of reasons. But the point is, if anyone who's still on the Trump train now will never get off.
So you think they have Stockholm syndrome?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're in the cult, like I said. I think this is actually a textbook cult. It's just really big.
Okay. Like, well, let's try this one. What's your take on cancel culture?
Cancel culture. Well, I'm of a couple minds about this.
Yeah.
I think the Twitter mob is not great at collecting all the facts before they decide to swarm a person and abuse them. I think, you know, someone says something that's kind of homophobic or something, like maybe not even intending to. This is just an example. There's no real life thing connected to this. You know, maybe they're not even intending to, but they word something badly. Someone says, hey, that was homophobic. It gets, you know, other people hear about it third hand. They hear, oh, did you hear that this person is a homophobe? And then suddenly all these people on Twitter murder them for being a homophobe. Even though they're not a homophobe, they just said something that they didn't think through, which we all do because we, you know, we all come to every minority group with bad assumptions just because of the culture we live in. It's stuff you have to unlearn, and it's a messy process.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision.
Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Meet animals like Sweet Pea the Skunk and Spike the Porcupine at Turtle Bay Exploration Park's animal programs every weekend at 2 p.m. Stop by on Friday for an animal spotlight.
Visit on Saturdays for the indoor animal show where animals fly, crawl, or walk on by. Or visit on Sundays and get led through the park, weather permitting, in Turtle Bay's Animal Parade.
Fun for all ages every weekend at 2 p.m. Animal programs are free for members and included with admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Don't distance yourself from your goals. At Shasta College, you can earn transfer-ready credits from the comfort of your couch or get job-ready for that high-demand career with convenient, cost-effective classes that work for you. Register now for fall classes. The semester starts August 17th, and now is the perfect time to take control of your future. Visit our website at shastacollege.edu or call 242-7500. Start your tomorrow today at Shasta College.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Everybody says the news, the left and the right, are, you know, CNN's leftist and Fox is rightist. And yeah. I don't believe either of those are the case. I believe both of them are sensationalists, and they know who their market is.
Yeah.
So they pander to their market.
They're corporatist.
Right. And so during the protests, we started watching Facebook feeds on our TV of people actually walking in the protests, you know, and standing right outside of the burning buildings and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And it was a lot less scary than the news would have.
Yeah, it's a pretty different story.
Yes, it was a very different story. So,
yeah.
So, you know, I'm 70-30, you know, 70% pro-protest and 30% against rioting. And that might just be a necessary evil to the situation. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like rioting, there's only certain issues where I feel like rioting is, like, allowable to change things, you know, to take it to that level. I think it's perfectly justifiable here because, like, blacks have been disproportionately killed for, gosh, many, many decades, a long time, and no one is doing anything about it. So I think, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there were other problems that probably took the forefront for a lot of those years, but But yeah, so I think in this situation, the issue was violence. The violence was the people who perpetrated it originally were the police. And so I think it is allowable to meet that with some level of violence. But I think if
anybody, most people would say that if somebody's going to kill your child should fight back.
Sure. Yeah. So I think violence is allowable in protests when what is at issue is violence, I think. But that doesn't apply to every issue, right? Yeah, I think in a roundabout way it is self-defense. But if you're talking about, you know, like these people who were protesting because they didn't want to wear masks, no violence has been done to these people. Therefore, if their protests had turned violent, which they didn't, that would not have been justified, in my view.
They sure and came armed, though.
They did, yeah. And, you know, whatever, I guess. I think they looked kind of dumb, but that is probably mainly because of how I feel about their position.
Right.
So, you know.
Okay, so my final topic is a weird one and probably the most touchy one. Maybe not the most touchy, okay. But the most whatever. Reparations.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about this.
Yeah, we've talked about reparations. Mm-hmm. What's your take on reparations?
I think any form of – whether you have, like, hardcore reparations where you're saying, you know, we're gonna tax white people and give a stipend to black people. You know, whether you're doing that or whether you're just having sort of affirmative action, whether you're funding better housing, whether you're funding, you know, more opportunities, whether you're giving grants to people, whether you're doing it in a blatant way or a subtle way, any progress on the issue of civil rights. And I'm using black people as an example, but obviously there are lots of groups. It has to be reparations at some level. Otherwise, it's just lip service. You know, if there's no money moving around, then no problem is being solved. Because the problem at its very root, I think, is generational wealth disparities that were created by, you know, things in the past that have not been addressed. So I think hardcore reparations, you know, obviously that's very politically unpalatable, but I think.
And when you say hardcore, just to clarify for the audience, I think she means when she says hardcore reparations, she means directly taking money from one group and giving it to the other.
Yes, I think that's maybe not the best idea because it's, you know, so unpalatable. But it's a bad idea in practice, not in principle. I think any solution to the problem of generational wealth disparity is going to essentially be that, just with extra steps.
Well, yeah, no, it's just going to be, you know, because I've had a hard time with reparations because I don't believe in taking money from one to just straight hand across to the other. I don't think that that's a practical thing because I don't think it will solve anything.
I think it would solve the problem. I think it would create other problems.
Much bigger problem.
Well, we can agree on that. The bigger problem would be in the form of
more racist,
white supremacists. Yeah, right. Recruiting, you know,
right. Gaining
a lot more people.
But I mean, you know, it's reparations in the sense that I take one competitive circle with 10 people and put 10 more people in it.
Sure.
So now we have a competitive circle of 10 people or 20 people. I totally agree with that. You know, I agree
right.
to make sure that, and again, I think a lot of this starts with education. I don't know how the world went to war against education because they think, you know, all these people always have this attitude like, oh man, they're sending my kid to a liberal college and my kid's going to get all brainwashed and become a super liberal. And I'm just all, well, would that happen to you if you had gone there? They're all, no, I'm too smart for that. And I'm all, but your kid's stupid as hell, right? You know, it's like they don't have a lot of confidence in other people, but they sure got a lot of confidence in themselves, you know. I think education in general, it is my solution to the world. my reparations problem with diversity around this world, I think I came up with an answer, and I think we need to pay people to move to other parts of the country.
Yeah, I mean, that could do it, but, like, where's the money going to come from, ultimately? Here's the thing, for every... Right.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's going... Because we have progressive taxation, that's going to become from wealthier people, who are mostly white. Eventually, it becomes reparations because there is a disparity, and you have to address the disparity.
Well, I understand that, but...
So you know, I would agree
I don't think
about
that the government should be looking at people when they tax them as being black or white. I think
no,
we're taking
a
dollar
from
everybody. You know, one thing I'm offended by the government is that they view my wife and I as a different type of entity because we're married. I mean, if anything
yeah, I think that's
world should view me as a lone individual, it should be the government.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I completely agree.
I think
although also
that I get or lose anything for being married.
Like, personally, I think if you have less than $1 million, you should never pay the government anything in federal taxes ever. Like, because most of our country's wealth is people who are millionaires and above, literally 80%. So it's I don't think there's any justification for ever taxing anyone who's not a millionaire.
All right. So you heard it here on Radio Wasteland. The answer is eat the rich.
Yes.
Yeah, that's your answer.
That's my answer to pretty much everything, really. Like, it's a very versatile answer.
If I had an answer, my answer would be free, reformatted so that it was highly effective education for everybody from the age of 0 to 18.
Yeah. Well, you know, that costs money, and that money statistically is going to come from white people.
Yes, but smart people. Educated people, especially
I'm not
in
saying
a technological world.
I'm just saying that's essentially reparations.
I'm arguing for the audience. Is smart, educated people in a technological world make the future? And
yeah,
we can either
I agree.
A country that imports the future or exports it. And, you know, I think we probably need to get... It's weird that we're the richest country in the world, yet we have, like, we're way low down on the education system.
Yeah. Well, I completely agree. So.
All right. Better education.
We can all take that away. Yeah.
All right. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland. If you're offended, you know, write to
us.
Write your congressman.
Oh.
Yep.
Literally attack us in our homes. That's Chauncey and Kara.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.